And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we connect on media issues and what's happening in the popular culture. We like to come back to this from time to time. Steve Vaughn is our co-host on this edition of the program, board member for the Generations and Christian Home Educators of Colorado Ministries. Steve, good to have you here today.
It's good to be here. I've been out for a long time. I had like 8 speech and debate camps in 8 weeks straight, and so I've been gone a lot. So good to be back.
It's good to have you back with us, Steve. We want to talk today about the most significant media event right now in America, and that is Netflix's monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. Now with 196 million views, it's the biggest thing happening in America right now. It's the quote-unquote chilling series Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. The show has topped Stranger Things Season 4 with nearly 197 million views. Since its launch on September 21st, which is what, just what, 5-6 days ago, the series has drawn a huge audience. And Netflix plans to release another crime special called Conversations with a Killer, the Jeffrey Dahmer tape, set to be released on October 7th. So this is, according to my count, the 16th event that is highlighting the life of perhaps the most evil man in the Western world, and that is Jeffrey Dahmer. The world is fixated on evil, and that's why, of course, they are excited about this, and they are spending a great deal of time watching it. It's a 10-part series. It's called Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. Netflix has put it out. It's the biggest thing happening in media right now. And, well, the world loves this kind of stuff. They're not featuring the fact that Jesus Christ robbed the strong man's house. They're not really going into the issues that matter when it comes to this story. I've read some of the scripts that constitute this docudrama series. But, Steve, what's happening, this nation is obsessed with evil. People love that which is evil. They love to study it. They love to find dog feces on the side of the road and just kind of pick through it and get a whiff of it.
Yeah.
But that's because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This is probably the best demonstration of the total depravity of man, their love for evil. And I think some people would probably say it's just idle, morbid curiosity, or maybe they want to believe that they are better than the worst man who ever lived, or whatever the reason is, but they certainly are drawn to this kind of thing, aren't they?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when you drive by, you know, a really serious car wreck and you slow down because you want to see if anybody's dead in the car and see if you can get a glimpse of that. And so it seems like, you know, everything inside of you is saying no, 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 but then you're also then going, yeah, but I want to see this. This may be the only chance I get to see, you know, somebody who's maimed by a car wreck. And so it can be a morbid curiosity, but it really goes back to our sin nature and the nature of man and the nature of evil.
Yeah, and as Christians, what we want to see is redemption. What we want to see is the glory of God. What we want to see is that God wins out, that God's judgment and his mercy conquers judgment. And redemption ultimately displays itself in time and space, and then for eternity we praise the name of Jesus Christ, who robbed the strong man's house, and the devil loses and Jesus wins in history. That's what we want to see. Now, of course, that the redeemed mind wants to know that, you know, God is righteous, his righteousness prevails, and evil does not prevail. Now, the whole idea of horror, the horror genre, became very, very popular in the 1970s and 1980s. And one of the reasons for that is because people love to submit themselves to the fear of evil and the sovereignty of evil, that evil gets to win out. And that's why Freddy Krueger just keeps coming back, you know, with Friday the 13th. Chapter, what is it, up to 49 now, or whatever it is.
Something like that.
Freddy Krueger and all the other, you know, horror characters just keep coming back. And they're resurrecting Jeffrey Dahmer in his worst state with this, 16th series on Jeffrey Dahmer, potentially the worst man who ever lived. At least that's the way people are seeing it. And he is known for his sin of homosexuality and his sin of murder. He violated both the 7th and 8th commandments. Let's just say it. He sinned against God. Now, that is probably not going to be mentioned on this series, but we're just saying it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to talk about that this is all wrong because once you start to list why things are wrong, the only place that you can go is God and his law. That's it.
Well, yeah. And here's the greatest offense for the world, and we have interviewed the pastor who baptized Jeffrey Dahmer just months before he was killed in prison. And the greatest offense for the world is that God would save Jeffrey Dahmer and not, you know, 90 to 95% of the rest of the world. And many of those who enjoy watching the darkest documentary that's ever been produced, and the documentary of the dark side of his life. Okay, so that God would save Jeffrey Dahmer and not all of these other nice people, you know. But here's the problem, Steve. They're not nice. You're not nice.
No.
I hope I'm not the first to bring that up. But I'm not nice.
No, I hear that all the time. Yeah,
yeah. Your wife might remind you of that from time to time.
Yeah, I was talking to my speech club the other day, and I said, okay, so a lot of people out there think, well, you know, I'm better than somebody else, and at least I'm not like that guy. And I said, well, how would all of you like to have all of your thoughts be broadcast for everybody to hear for 24
Ouch.
Hours?
Ouch.
And all of them, like, recoiled in horror. And it's like, yeah, we're not nice, are we?
Yep.
And they're like,
exactly.
No.
We've all rebelled against God. We have all murdered in our hearts. As you just said, you know, if whatever was in our heart and mind would be revealed to the whole world, what would that look like? Now, here's what Jesus said about that in Matthew 5 and verse 21. Here it is. You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, I think we all know how to look good. We haven't murdered 17 people and put their bodies in the fridge. But Jesus said, if you are angry with your brother and say, thou fool, you are in danger of hell fire. So, you know, when it comes to God's standards, it's not as if we are offending these families or we are offending the people that we are murdering in our minds, or in the case of Jeffrey Dahmer, in real life. There is some offense there, but that's not the chief offense. As David said, David, who, you know, murdered and committed adultery, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Why? Because we didn't break man's law. We broke God's law. And that, my friends, becomes a cosmic offense against the creator of the universe. And now you're really in trouble. Now, there's been some pushback from the LGBTQ community about this series, I've heard.
Yeah, because Jeffrey Dahmer identified as, or he said, you know, he was gay, homosexual at the time, and that there was actually some sort of, like, psychosexual type of, you know, fulfillment in the killing and the eating of these people. But he identified, he said he was gay, and the LGBTQ community is saying, we don't want him. And, you know, the question is, why, you know, why not?
Well, you know, the Wikipedia entry on Jeffrey Dahmer is that on his father's urging, Dahmer read creationist books from the Institute for Creation Research. In May of 1994, Dahmer is baptized by Roy Ratcliffe in the prison whirlpool. And as I said, I interviewed Roy Ratcliffe on my program a few years ago. Now, the original interview that NBC Stone Phillips did with Jeffrey Dahmer and his father, extremely hard to find online. It took me a long time to find it. They've redacted the most important part in, you know, 30 to 40, you know, segments you're going to find online on YouTube, because what happens is Dahmer takes full responsibility, tells why he did it, and then speaks of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Savior, and as his Lord. And, wow, that's the part that you don't get. And I'm going to play it. I'm going to play the full 4 minutes on this broadcast, because I want history to hear the real reason. And this is not what you're going to find on the 16 television series done on the life of Jeffrey Dahmer. But we are going to play that in just a moment and comment as we go on this edition of the Generations broadcast. Stay with us.
Is homeschooling creating a war zone in your family? You're not alone. And the good news is that conflicts and challenges are the perfect place for us to learn to walk as Christ did if we look to God's Word. And that's what the Homeschool Family Relationships Summit 2.0 is all about. It's coming this October 10th through the 15th, 2022, a free online event that will urge and equip you to find God's wisdom for your closest relationships so you can communicate with truth and grace, strengthen your family's unity even through conflict, and lead your family to become a world-changing force for the kingdom of God. The event is loaded with world-class speakers, including Dr. John MacArthur, Vodi Brockham, Nancy Wilson, Ken Ham, and so many more. And it's all free. Register now at homeschoolsummits.com/relationships. That's homeschoolsummits.com/relationships.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Steve Vaughn also. And coming to the most controversial part of the interview Stone Phillips from NBC did with Jeffrey Dahmer and his father. Very difficult to find online for obvious reasons. None of the secularists are going to be thrilled with the real story. Nobody really wants to know the truth, and that's the bottom line. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness at every single point, but especially when Jeffrey Dahmer comes forward and confesses and takes full responsibility for his sin and then points to the purpose, the reasons behind it, and his thinking, his real thinking of what he was thinking in his rebellion against Almighty God to bring about these horrific deeds. And so this is the way it went as Stone Phillips interviewed Jeffrey Dahmer. And it wasn't as if Phillips, the interviewer, was bringing this stuff up. In fact, you're going to hear that Jeffrey's father will ask him the key question. It doesn't come from Stone Phillips. It comes from Jeffrey's father, who's sitting right next to him in the interview in the prison just months before Jeffrey Dahmer is killed. So first thing that happens here is Jeffrey Dahmer takes responsibility for his own sins. Listen to this. This is what he says.
I feel it's wrong for people who commit crimes to try to shift the blame onto somebody else, onto their parents or onto their upbringing or living circumstances. I think that's just a cop-out. And my parents, my relatives, had no knowledge of what I was doing. They're absolutely not responsible for any of it in any way. And I take full responsibility.
But you understand that what you did would lead your father to ask himself all kinds of questions.
That's true.
Where did I go wrong? Was there something I could have said or done to have prevented this?
Right.
Did I in some way create or contribute to the terrible acts my son committed?
I understand that. I just get angry with other people who think that they have a right to somehow try to blame my parents for what happened. That's not right at all. No one has the right to do that because they're totally innocent. They had no knowledge of it. And that angers me.
But parents just naturally, I mean, any parent that really cares, they just first of all say, I feel guilty. You know, there's just feelings of guilt. What happened? What did
this is Jeffrey's father speaking.
So that's a normal parental reaction.
Your dad has wondered about all kinds of things, from the medication that your mom was on during her pregnancy to the fact that you were exposed to violent arguments in the home from an early age and continuing, to the possibility that he might have passed on some genetic propensity for obsession or violent behavior. Does any of that ring true to you?
I can see why he'd wonder about those things, but as far as I'm concerned, they're all excuses, because I didn't feel accountable to anybody. I didn't feel that I had to face what I had done ever. And so there comes a point where a person has to be accountable for what he's done. Can't go around making excuses, blaming other people or other things. So I alone am the one who's responsible for what's happened.
Let me ask.
And now Jeffrey's father asks the key question.
When did you first feel that everyone is accountable for their actions?
Well, thanks to you for sending that creation science material, because I always believe the lie that evolution is truth, the theory of evolution is truth, that we all just came from the slime, and when we died, you know, that was it. There was nothing. So the whole theory cheapens life, and started reading books about how that show how evolution is just a complete lie. There's no basis in science to uphold it. And I've come to believe that that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true creator of the heavens and the earth. It just didn't just happen. And I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that I, as well as everyone else, will be accountable to him.
Growing up, did you feel that you were accountable to your dad or to your mom as the authority figure in the house?
Yes, I did. I mean, they didn't let me run wild. They disciplined me. And so I felt accountable to them. But afterwards, after I left the home, that's when I started wanting to sort of create my own little world where I could be the one who had the complete control, where I didn't have to bow to anyone else's demands.
Okay, that's very key at that point. He admits, again, the reason, his thinking in just these horrific acts that he committed is rooted in the desire to be his own God, to be in control, to be sovereign, to be the determinant of his own ethics, to be determinant of his own reality. And he, of course, exercised this to the extreme. That's what he says here.
And I just took it way too far.
Lionel? At that period of time, I had drifted away from a belief in a supreme being.
This is the Father speaking.
And I never, as a result, passed along the feeling that we are all accountable in the end. He owns us. And that basic concept is very fundamental to all of us.
You feel that the absence, at least for a while, of a strong religious faith and belief
for some years
may have prevented you from instilling some of that in Jeff.
That's right.
Is that how you feel?
Yes, I think I had a big big part to do with it. I mean, if a person doesn't think that there is a God to be accountable to, then what's the point of trying to modify your behavior to keep it within acceptable ranges? That's how I thought, anyway. And I've since come to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're the only true God.
All right, so that's it. That's the piece you're not going to get anywhere else, Steve. Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord. He is the true and living God to whom every single person is accountable. That, my friends, is the testimony of Jeffrey Dahmer. That's the other part of the story. As Paul Harvey used to say, that's the rest of the story. That's the piece you're not going to get anywhere else, Steve.
No kidding. Yeah, because nobody wants to think that God could save somebody like Jeffrey Dahmer. There's just no way. I mean, he was the worst of all sinners. And I remember Howard Stern during that time. He said, well, you know, even if God did, Christians, would you want him? Would you want Jeffrey Dahmer to be listed on the rolls of a Christian? And it's like, well, yeah. I mean, I want to be listed on the rolls. I'm sure, you know, everybody who has been saved is so thankful to be listed in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Well, when I heard that Jeffrey Dahmer had a profession of faith and was baptized, I thought to myself, Jeffrey Dahmer in heaven? and then I got to thinking, Kevin Swanson in heaven?
Yeah.
By the grace of God.
Yeah.
By the grace of God. And I think every single one of us needs to say that. But getting down to the root issue, basically the problem with Jeffrey Dahmer is the problem with all of the secularists. This is the problem with the world today, that they don't believe that God owns us. They don't believe that they are accountable, morally accountable to God. This is the basic reason for evolution, for natural selection, for the Darwinian solution to man's problem. That man did not want to be morally accountable to God, and so he developed an evolutionary theory, and that's what Jeffrey Dahmer bought into, hook, line, and sinker. Same thing with Klebold and Harris. I'm going to get to their testimonies in just a moment, but friends, this is the same root issue. with all of the secularists. This is the problem with every public school in America. This is the problem with 99.9% of the colleges in America, in the entire Western world, in the whole world, in that they all embrace the same basic metaphysic that we are nothing but cosmic dust floating around a universe of pure chance. And if one piece of cosmic dust wipes out another piece of cosmic dust, if one piece of cosmic dust pretends itself to be God, to take control of its own existence and do whatever it wants to do and to pretend to be God for a little while, well, that seems to subscribe to the theory of natural selection. More of a natural selection basically says it's a survival of the fittest. Might makes right. And so if that be the case, then there are some who are maybe a little bit more consistent to it. That's exactly what Jeffrey Dahmer said. He said, I just took it to the extreme. I believe these things and took it to the extreme. I wanted my own little world where I could be in complete control. I could be as God. And that, my friends, is the root for every sin, for every act of rebellion against God. That was the original sin. Remember what the devil said in the garden, Steve. You shall be as gods. And that's precisely, that's precisely what Jeffrey Dahmer believed.
Yeah, I can determine what's right and wrong, and what's right for me right now is to kill a bunch of people and put them in my freezer. And that's, you know, if I were God, I would let that be okay, because obviously God isn't that good and God doesn't know what's going on. That's really where all sin comes from, is if I were God, I would say this is fine. That's the horribleness, the evil of sin.
And I just checked out the Klebold and Harris worldview, and you can get it at acolumbinesite.com if you want to weed through all of the horrible things to identify the reasons why these guys did what they did. And, of course, everybody's still asking, well, why did he do it? Why did he do it? They're always asking that question. Klebold and Harris, Jeffrey Dahmer, why did he do it? Let's dig into it a little bit more. Well, we know why he did it. He did it because he believed in evolution, because he believed he was God and he wanted to impose his will upon others. Hey, he just admit this. It's black and white on the website. Dylan Klebold's diaries, Eric Harris's diaries, still available. You read them online if you want to. Here's Dylan Klebold diary, I am God, quote unquote, just read it this morning. Klebold wrote about his view that he and Harris were godlike. You find like four or five references to being godlike and more highly evolved than every other human being. Eric Harris, April 26th, 1998, in his diary, okay, April 26th, 1998, Eric Harris writes, let natural selection take its course. Eric writes, I will sooner die than betray my own thoughts, but before I leave this worthless place, I will kill whoever I deem unfit. Columbine happened a year later. Okay, so now I want to play another segment. This is Larry King interviewing on CNN with Dahmer's parents after the fact. And so I thought it'd be important to include this CNN interview in this collection of interviews we're placing before you, my friends, because this is history, and this is the part that is missed on the 16 docudramas produced for television for popular consumption. So on the full King interview, available online at ghostarchive.org, if you start at the 37-minute mark, here is what Dahmer's parents told Larry King about the Institute for Creation Research materials that came to his son and the impact they had on him.
How was he dealing with prison, Jeff?
Jeff was, at first it was extremely hard, but then he sent away for 13 books. It's down in El Cajon, California, Institute for Creation Research. I told him about the place, and he bought 13 books that turned him from a evolutionist into a creationist, and from there into a Christian. And he started handing out pamphlets and so forth, and talking with other prisoners, trying to.
So he was a born again.
He was. I'm sure in talking with him, it wasn't just a jailhouse conversion. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's a segment. It's a 1 minute segment. Tells quite a bit, but that's probably about the best publicity that Institute for Creation Research ever got. I mean, you don't get on CNN with Larry King too often. I don't think Henry Morris was invited onto Larry King's program very often at all. But apparently it was the Institute for Creation Research materials that changed the direction for Jeffrey Dahmer while he was in prison. And his parents believe that he became a born-again Christian while he was there.
Yeah, and he even got, didn't he get baptized in like a whirlpool or something like that? I think you mentioned that earlier. Yeah.
Now, it's interesting, Larry King still follows up with a question. I didn't include this, but he says, okay, so why did he do it? Well, the answer's obvious. He believed in naturalistic evolutionary worldview. That was his worldview. He was extremely self-consistent to it in terms of his violation of the Seventh Commandment, in his sexual anarchy, and homosexuality is a violation of the Sixth Commandment, is murderous anarchy. In you know, both areas, he did the best he possibly could to violate God's law and bring about a tremendous tragedy upon the world. He was pretending to be God and took it to the extreme degree. That's it. That's the answer. That's why he did it. He was in rebellion against God and was throwing off accountability to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to the Creator himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then eventually in prison, he bowed the knee and admitted to Jesus' kingship. And, of course, that he was the Savior as well. Now, it's also interesting that there is a follow-up on this. Actually, the 10th segment of this new release from Netflix brings out a little bit of concerning the baptism. But what it does is the script up is available online. I read the script. It's, you know, a 45-minute script or what have you. But the script tells about God's forgiveness and God's vengeance, but it juxtapositions God's forgiveness against God's vengeance, and then basically mocks the possibility of God's forgiveness, ignoring Jesus' atonement in favor of self-atonement. So that's the way in which the secular world, Netflix, is going to interact with the last months of Jeffrey Dahmer's life. So, friends, they're going to reject the whole evolutionary explanation. They're going to reject the fundamental problem, the moral problem, that the ultimate cosmic moral problem that Jeffrey Dahmer and every single live person on earth has, and that is that they are rebellion against God. They are expressing their anarchy against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, violating his law right and left, and suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. And that's what Jeffrey Dahmer did. And they're, of course, not going to present the atoning work of Jesus Christ as paying the price for the evil deeds that were done by Jeffrey Dahmer and the rest of us who accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by faith. So Larry King still asks the question, why did he do it? Ignoring the obvious explanation. He was an evolutionist. That was why he did it. He believed, he tried to believe as much as he could, that he was a piece of cosmic dust floating around the universe of pure chance, in which there was no transcendent moral or ethic, no God to whom he was accountable. So now, friends, one of the things that we do in our history books is we include these stories. And I know that may sound odd, but we think that there should be something of the backstory in history, in which Jesus ultimately wins. We need to tell the stories where Jesus has robbed the strong man's house. The backstory in history, the salvation of Nathan Bedford Forrest, the first Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, perhaps the most infamous man in American history, at least from the northern perspective, the salvation of Fuchida, the colonel who led the infamous attack on Pearl Harbor, that day of infamy, the salvation of Jeffrey Dahmer, the most infamous serial killer in Western history. Could it be that God can redeem the most infamous? Well, friends, the answer, of course he can, by the grace of God and by the sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ and by the overcoming of the deeds of the devil by the work of Jesus Christ, our King. That, my friends, is the backstory in history, and that's why we include these stories in America, in God's providence. We want to be sure that we leave our children with the legacy of what Jesus is doing. Amidst the tragedies of the Civil War, World War II, serial killing, etc., Jesus always gets the last word. And you can read about it in America in God's Providence, our 1,000-page providential history of America. Available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.